About 6 weeks ago, I went through a time. Who's been through a time? We've all been through a time. And going through a time kind of taught me a few things. And quite contrary to what you're usually taught in church. And so I'm using a portion of scripture that is usually used in church one way, quite negatively, but I actually found it quite positive when I was going through my time. So I'm hoping that it will bless you this morning. And if you fall asleep, which I don't mind if you do, but if you fall asleep, I have three sentences that you've got to remember if you don't hear anything else. So the first one is, God's desire is to take you from where you are to a further place in Him that He has already been preparing for you. I'll say it again. God's desire is to take you from where you are to a further place in Him that He has already been preparing for you. And the big word there is already. It's in His plan. He's already been preparing it. The second one is that you've heard during conference. He wants more of you. And you have the ability to walk in whatever He has called you to do. You have the ability to walk in whatever God has called you to do. And the last one is, it's important for you to invest in what others find have no value. It's important for you to invest in what others find have no value. There's a scripture in Isaiah, and it's not my main scripture this morning, but it's a scripture that we would use to encourage each other, and it's Isaiah 11. And it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So we're actually starting to ask the Lord for wisdom, what the Lord was trying to teach us. So I put here for many, many years, and in fact decades, the Lord has been preparing us for our future, for what's coming next. And who believes that we're on the verge of something really good? Something really great. And so I believe that I've been in a time of preparation, preparing me for what God has to come next. And have I been a good student? I don't think so. Sometimes yes, and other times I've needed spanked. Yeah. But you know what? I've still stayed in that time of preparing. I've still stayed before the Lord. And I've got us. God's ways of training us, His patterns and purposes are varied. So we could teach Angie one way, and He could teach me another way. He could teach Rachel another way, could teach Carol another way. So His ways are varied, and His patterns are varied. But there's a basis of everything that He does. But this verse has been coming before me a lot since my episode 6 weeks ago. And I just want you to turn, if you will, to Luke 22. And you're going to hear this and go, "Oh no, I don't want to hear this," because this is what I said when the Lord started dropping this into me. Because I, at times, as I said, was a bad student and need spanked every now and again. But this word kept coming to me, and I kept praying for the Lord to ask to give me wisdom. I kept asking for wisdom time and time and time again. I kept saying, Lord, give me your wisdom. Give me your understanding. Give me your knowledge of this situation. And the situation, in a way, was embarrassing. And I didn't even want to ring Tim and say, Tim, this has happened. If you want to know, it's, as Gary says, Nunya. But I wanted to succeed in what God had for me. I wanted to know where my error was, and I wanted to know how to move on. Anybody been in that situation? I say, oh Lord, I can't take any more of this. I just need to know how to move on. And so I kept praying and praying and praying. And this is the verse the Lord gave me, and it's verse 31. And you all know this scripture, and it's so common. And it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now, if you remember, Simon's name was changed to Peter before this, but he goes back and calls him Simon, Simon. I don't know why. You can ask Gary. Gary will be able to tell you why. But I know when my parents were angry with me, they gave me my full title. Yeah. It wasn't Harrison Harrison, it was Harrison Taylor, come here. Anyway, he says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have what? Prayed for thee, that thy what? Faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen who? Your brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee. Who says that? Me, every day. I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and unto death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny thy knowest me. Anybody been in this situation? No. This portion of scripture got me very, very confused. Because it talks about sifting. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is sifting. And we have a very, very negative in church life connotation of the word sifting. And if somebody leaves the church, it's, oh, they've been sifted. And it's, da-da-da-da, they've been sifted, da-da-da-da. Well, I got sifted 6 weeks ago. And da-da-da-da, I'm doing great. And so sifting has had a very negative connotation in churches. And personally, sifting is a very, very bad connotation. You don't want to be sifted. But I'm going to read and decipher these verses bit by bit this morning, if you'll allow me, just to show you that sifting is a good thing and it's not a bad thing. Say good. It's good, it's good. And the Lord's been telling me all week that sifting and shaking, say shaking. Sifting and shaking is absolutely necessary to succeed. Absolutely necessary to succeed. And it's necessary for you to succeed and walk out the plan that God has prepared for me and for you. What do I mean? You're looking at me like, oh, that's not what I've been taught. It's absolutely necessary. Sifting and shaking is for you to go where you are to where God wants you to be. From where you are to where God wants you to be. It's absolutely necessary for you to, here's a prayer center word, endure. Endure sifting and shaking. Say to your neighbor, I'm going to endure Shifting and shaking. Did any of you say it with a smile on your face? I'm going to endure it. God wants you prepared for every eventuality that you may face in your call. Every eventuality. The good, who faces good things. The bad, who faces bad things. And the ugly, who faces ugly things. I face ugly things quite often. So God wants us prepared. So in this sifting and shaking, there's got to be a preparation and a moving. The knowledge that we have learnt over the last wee while is vitally important for what God is preparing to take us into. So why do you think God has spent a whole week in conference relaying foundational truth? Why do you think that's been important? Anybody notice that we've been taught what we've already been taught to make sure that we already know what we've been taught? Nobody noticed that? Yeah. I found a prophecy from May 8th, 2011. And guess what it says? It says, a shaking is coming. A shaking is coming. Be ready, says the Lord. A shaking is coming. Foundations will be re-examined. What have we done this last week? We've re-examined our foundations. We've looked at them, we've checked them out, and we've put them out again. A shaking is coming. Be ready, says the Lord. A shaking is coming. Foundations will be re-examined. I have for years been laying a foundation in you. Let me tell you ahead of time. Ahead of time is important when you read this scripture on sifting. Ahead of time. Let me tell you ahead of time. Your foundation will stand secure. Amen. Say, I have a secure foundation. Amen. And you know what? From what I've been through sifting and shaking, you stand on that secure foundation no matter what church or anybody else tells you outside. Because what we're taught in here is secure. God's just said it's secure. Your foundation will stand secure. You haven't been preparing all this time for nothing, says the Lord. But a shaking is coming that even the very elect, if they don't have these foundations, they will tremble. I charge you, fear not. I charge you, trust in my word. Whose word? The Lord's word. I charge you, fear not. Trust in my word, and I charge you this day, be strong and of good courage, for I have given you the land, says the Lord. That is so, it's one of my important confessions. I have given you the land. Because I'm contending for Ireland. You're contending for Tulsa and the USA. But you can't have it unless you're standing on a secure foundation. And that's why I feel this conference that we've just gone through has been so pivotal for us. It's been life-changing because it's reaffirmed the foundation that we stand on. So, what about sifting and shaking? Oh. I've got here... Many would say this week has been of no value. And I've been sitting around listening where people have said, oh, we've learnt this before. This is Gary, same old, same old, same old. But you know, if you're truly standing on the word, this week has been of value. Who thinks it's been of value? I've got here, we've heard all before. Why are they teaching this? We've already got this knowledge. We've already got this wisdom. It's same old, same old, same old. Remember, I said at the very beginning, it's vitally important for you to invest in what others have no value for. So it's vital for you to keep reinvesting in the foundation. Vitally. You cannot build sides if you haven't got a strong foundation. And I've got here an example, and I don't know a USA example, so I'm going to tell you of an Irish one. Is that okay? We've just been through a World Cup. I think, did America play in the World Cup? They might have done. Probably didn't do very well. But we've just had a World Cup. And as part of the World Cup, Germany, who is the most hated team in Ireland and England, were playing Ireland. Germany have people that invest. They invest. Well, what Ireland did was took 14 rooms in a hostel and put their team into a cheap hostel and let them train or whatever they had to do in this hostel. What did Germany do? Germans always have to go one step better. But what did the Germans do? The Germans booked the whole of a big posh hotel, all their leisure facilities, all their physiotherapists, they had doctors come in, they booked the whole hotel, and their players had 2 weeks of luxury before they played one game. They invested. They invested in time, they invested in money, they invested in the best of everything for their team. And as Christians, that's what we should be doing, investing. And the reason why they invest is because they have value in winning the cup. Ireland didn't place much value in winning the cup, so they didn't invest very much. I don't know what the equivalent of that is in America, but because they invested so much, guess who won the World Cup? Well, who beat Ireland? Germany. To everybody's dismay. So your investment in this week means that you have a value on the plan that God has for your life. And it will also mean that you have the ability to fulfill your call. It's hard to see the value when we're going through tough times. Hard. It's really hard. But God is interested in the eternal benefit, which we often forget about. So we're concerned with what we're going through now, but God is concerned with the eternal benefit of what we're going through. So I want to say here and now, if you're going through stuff now, it's temporary. Say temporary. 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 It's temporary. And lots of us can bear witness to going through temporary hard times. So let's go to Luke 22 again, verse 31. It says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And this got me a bit angry, but a bit confused, because Jesus was warning Simon that Satan had already developed a plan to destroy his life. Jesus already knew that Satan had a plan. And even this morning I had somebody say, well, why didn't God stop it? If God knew that was going to happen to me, why didn't he stop it? I'll tell you why in a minute. What Satan wanted to do was to sift Simon Peter in order to bring to the surface every fault, every character flaw, and every weakness to the point of turning him away from God. You ever been in a situation where you say things you don't want to say and you do things you don't want to do? And that's how Satan was pushing and pushing at Simon Peter. But it says here, I have prayed for thee. Who's I? Jesus. it says, I have prayed for thee. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, he's prayed for him, but he knows he's going to go through it, but he's not going to stop him from going through it. And I was starting to, my brain was going like this. And I'm thinking, Jesus had full knowledge of what was going to happen. And he prayed for him. Why did he pray? That his faith would not fail. He prayed that his faith would not fail. He didn't say his faith wouldn't be tried or tested, but he said that his faith wouldn't fail. So he says, in spite of this, or in view of this, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Jesus had full knowledge of what was going on and even prayed for him that his faith didn't fail. He didn't say that his faith wouldn't be tried or tested. He said that his faith wouldn't fail. And then it says, and when thou art converted, to turn oneself about, to turn oneself about and to come back. Peter was headed for a fall, but when he was converted back to where he should be, it says, strengthen thy brethren. So what it's saying is that once you have been through trying and testings, then you come back, and what do? You build up your brethren. And you say, listen, I went through that trial, and this is how I got through it, and this is how my faith pulled me through. So sifting and shaking isn't as negative as people or religion tells us it is. It says hard situations in our lives are often followed by, and I love this word when I wrote it, tremendous positives. Say tremendous. Tremendous. Tremendous positives. He's going to strengthen his brethren. So it says those negatives, those hard situations in our lives are going to be followed by tremendous positives. This is not a time to give up. Nudge your neighbor and say, don't be giving up, because we've got tremendous positives coming. Tremendous positives. Yeah, I love that word. This is not a time to give up. Simon Peter was coming out of the biggest trial of his life with the ability to strengthen others. And you have to remember, after Jesus died, who was it who gathered up the disciples when they were scattered? Peter. So he was there for his brothers. Even though he had failed, he was there for them. And I've put here, I see a process in this pattern, and it's a process that I've gone through many, many times. God takes, he blesses, because he prayed for Peter, he breaks, and then he gives. He takes, he blesses, he breaks, and then he gives. And that's a familiar pattern that we as Christians go through. But you know what? Jesus went through it before us. He went through it before us. If you've been through a process where you've been taken and you've been blessed and you have been broken, which we all have, then you have to accept that we're going to be given. Praise God. And it doesn't matter what you feel, how damaged you feel now, how much you feel that your heart is breaking now, it doesn't matter. You have been through the hurt of the breaking, and you've been weakened, and you've been stretched. But you know what? We're going to be given. And in that process, our lives are going to be multiplied and multiplied so that we can fulfill the pattern and the path that God has for us. We're going to fulfill our destinies. Who's going to fulfill their destinies? So let's go on a wee bit further. So he prayed for him. He blessed him. He knew that he was going to go through it. And then he said that he will be strengthened in this process. Peter was a bit of a silly boy. He said, yes, I am ready to go with thee, even unto death and into prison. Have you ever done that? I'm not going to fail the Lord. I'm going to keep on going. You know what my biggest failure was? And Derek and Diana always tease me about it. I'm not fighting the devil no more. I'm just going to stand. I'm not fighting him no more. And what happened to Ruth when she said that? Shh. Psh. We go out and we flex our spiritual muscles. And we've been at conference and we know this and we know that and we know the other. And we go out and we flex our spiritual muscles and we say, I'm strong. I can take any test there is. And I can guarantee you that when you flex your spiritual muscles, then a testing comes. And if you're like me, you went, psh, fell right on your back. Anybody been there? Yep. So Jesus came back at him and said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow three times this day before thou shalt deny me thrice that thou knowest me. We all know we have an opinion of ourselves. Who has an opinion of themselves? Some of them are good, some of them are bad, but we all have our opinion of ourselves. But you know what? God knows better. He knows us better. And one of the side effects of this love walk that we're on is that we have learned to be honest with ourselves. Who's been honest with themselves? And I've tended recently, maybe not so much in the beginning, but recently I've tended to examine myself more and more and more. And when you go through problems and you go through situations, you tend to start examining, what did I do wrong? What could I have done better? Peter didn't do that in the beginning. It's a weakness to admit that you don't have a weakness. That's Irish. It's a weakness not to admit that you have a weakness. Why you don't know you have a weakness, you're in trouble. So you're better admitting that you have a weakness and asking the Lord to help you through it. I want to take you back just a wee minute to back to verse 31, if I may. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Sifting. Strong's 6:4-6:1-7, synezo, to sift. What does to sift mean? To sift, to shake in a sieve by inward agitation, to try one's faith to the verge of overthrow. Anybody been there where your faith has been tried to the verge of overthrow? It's not temporal, it's complete overthrow. And have you ever been inwardly agitated by your Christian faith? You know, often we walk into church and we've got this big smile on our face and I'm happy, Ruth, and there's nothing wrong with me, but inwardly, you've this agitation going on. That's what it means. Only it doesn't mean, I don't know who I could use. It's like you shake and you shake and you shake and you shake and you keep on shaking until there's an inward agitation. And it's not just a little shake that you would give your husband. It's a complete shake so that there's complete inward agitation. So often we've got low feelings and our low feelings overtake us and we feel that we're being inwardly agitated. Well, this is even more severe than that. I put here, it's a prolonged process of time and it's an effort of the powers of darkness which have been granted temporary, limited access to work the greater purpose of God. Basically, it's a temporary pain to produce an eternal benefit. It's not a microwave Christianity, as many people want. It's not microwave. It's a constant agitation. We are on frontline trenches. I'm definitely on frontline trenches. Where I live and where I minister, I'm on frontline trenches. If I can't handle inward agitation, what am I going to handle? Some of you are on frontline trenches. We are all frontline trench in the army. And for us, we have to quicken up our learning. Quicken it up. The battle that we are in, Satan isn't going to send some wee water carrier to fight you. He's going to send in the big guns. If you want the little guys, you're not going to get very far in your Christian walk. But he sends in the big guns to agitate us. I've got here, ha ha ha, I wish. Because sometimes I wish I was fighting the little guys. But 9 times out of 10, I'm fighting the big guns where I live. Satan sends the big guns, the big boys, because you have processed, you've been in a process to a place where you have conquered much. You have conquered much in your life in preparation for where God wants to take you. I've got here, ask yourself, can I endure what Pastor Dave endured? And this was when I was writing this to myself. Can I endure what Pastor Dave endured? Can I endure what Alan Taylor has endured? Because that's to the degree that we are going in the walk where we are. Can I walk through what Pastor Dave has walked through? We all want that promotion. The amount of times I've heard I should be behind the pulpit, I should be preaching. I'm the guy in the big picture and I want to be behind the pulpit. Well, let me tell you, if you have not endured any sifting or any shaking, don't stand behind the pulpit. Do not come and stand behind any pulpit, not even this one, because that sifting and shaking is a process that is going to help you grow. I put here, think of a shaking. Imagine something that you have taken hold of that causes an inward agitation, and Satan just knows the buttons to press. I always say, you come after my kids or my grandkids, and you will know how much inward agitation I can throw back at you. Because if you touch my kids or my grandkids, it won't be the wrath of God, it will be the wrath of Ruth. So I know how much inward agitation can press my buttons. Shaking has to produce something. It has to produce something. God is an expert at this. I'm sitting thinking when I'm meditating on these verses, God's actually an expert at sifting. And you can always see it in other people's lives, but it's very rare you can see it in your own life. He knows how to get under your wee skin. He knows what buttons he will allow to be pushed to get a response, to get your attention. And as the saying goes, he will do it either the easy way or he'll do it the hard way. Which way would you like it? The easy way? I would love it the easy way, but it never seems to happen. So I've got here, sifting and shaking can initially, and say the word initially, sifting and shaking can initially cause these actions in your life. Disorientation, upheaval, separation. You shake something hard enough and it'll fall apart. Disturbance. Sometimes God has tried to disturb me, and guess who I've blamed? Satan. Stress, breaking apart and confusion, and you lose all sense of purpose. And then you go into this self-preservation survival mode, and that's a very dangerous mode to be in if you don't recognize what you're going through. But as I said, these are only initial. And if you are going through them on a longer basis, you need to really get into prayer and into warfare. All of these are paralleled with a tremendous sense of shame or failure. And the enemy will try to get you to think that you have done something wrong. And that's where I was 6 weeks ago, that I had done something wrong. I've got here, devil, you're a liar. Say, devil, you are a liar. You are a liar. Yes. We are blaming Satan, which has an element of truth. Temporal limited pain will bring about a permanent benefit. Embrace it, endure it, and you will come out the other end, because God has you in the trial of your faith. He will bring you out the other end. You will come out greater than you went in, greater in stature, stand tall, and greater in spirit. Temporal limited pain will bring permanent benefit. Embrace it, endure it. You will come out the other end of it. You will come out greater, and you will come out greater than you went in. Listen, this is what I learned when I started reading this. Before God can put something on your shoulders, He needs to check that you can carry it. God's not going to give me a pulpit ministry if I'm a weakling and can't carry it, and I can't come with the battles that come with the ministry or the call that I have on my life. God's not going to take you in to foreign countries to be a missionary if He hasn't checked out your shoulders, that your shoulders are strong enough to carry it. The greatest example I could find was Moses. He had a burden for the land. He had a burden for the Israel children. He had a lineage and he had a call on his life. But guess what? He went too soon. He went too soon. And because he went too soon and he hadn't been tested and tried and shaken and sifted, he killed a man and hid him in the sand and said, "That wasn't me." So it's really, really important that you start and grow shoulders that can carry the call that God has for you. With a call on your life, don't go too soon. Do not go too soon. Ruth, have you gone too soon? No. I've been doing the message since 2003, and this is 16 years later. I haven't gone too soon. Don't get pulled away from where you are learning and where you are being trained, because you may end up burying things under the surface like Moses did if you get your timing wrong. Don't run too soon. Do you know what? Moses needed another 40 years of preparation, 40 more years after he buried the Egyptian, before he went into his call. And some of us, slow learners like me, might need 40 years as well. Briefly, I want you to see this. There's generally different agendas between those of God and those of Satan during sifting. And I'm only going to touch on this really lightly. When Satan shifts, he's attempting, ladies will get this, he's trying to get you to prematurely birth. Satan, there's nothing, he's coming to kill, steal and destroy. So there's nothing Satan wants more than for you to prematurely go into your call, miscarry or abort. Your God-given purpose or call is what Satan wants you to sift. He wants you to lose. And Simon Peter, in order to bring to the surface every fault and flaw and weakness for the point of turning him away from serving God. Don't prematurely walk into your call. Seek God for your timing. The agenda of God is in every trial and test of Peter's faith. But this is what God did for Peter. And this excites me. In 1 Peter 1 verse 7, and I'm reading this out of the message, it says, I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation. In the meantime, pure gold put in the fire comes out as it's proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. And when Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display of evidence of his victory. So in all that shaking and all that sifting, God isn't interested in the gold, and that's nice, but he's interested in the trial of your faith, how you've come through that sifting and shaking, how you've matured through the process. Satan never learned his lesson. With God's trials, there's always benefit. Always benefit. So even if Satan temporarily is used to put you through a trial or a test, there's still benefit. And it's benefit for the brethren. Gold put in the fire will always come out as pure gold. But God's agenda is that your faith will come out on display. These verses and very quickly reveal another thing about Peter. Peter had a wrong estimation of himself. Sometimes the trial of your faith and the sifting and shaking will tell you much more about you than it will about the situation that you're going through. The first lesson I had to learn in these was about me. I needed to make an honest assessment of where I was at, and what I was saying, and what I was doing. And there's no shame in that. If you can be honest with yourself, there's no shame in the stuff that we're going through, as long as you're working through the stuff. I mean, and Alan's a prime example. And I admire Alan. He knows that he's been through a trial, but he's saying, look, I'm working through it. There's no shame in admitting that. Allow yourself that grace to go through what you're going through. Allow yourself. I'm not perfect yet, neither are you. But we are being perfected. Not a get out of jail card. We can't say, oh, I'm being sifted. It's not a get out of jail card. It's a process that we need to work through. It's a trial of our faith. Simon Peter failed miserably. I'll die with you. But if you go ahead and look down to Luke 22, verse 66, it says, and Peter wept, went out and wept bitterly. He mourned, he wept, and he lamented that circumstances allowed him to understand where he was really at. And when he realized where he was really at, that was when he wept bitterly. Even so, that Peter wrote, he actually wrote two books on endurance after that, The Fiery Trial. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened. God is saying, do you think it's strange that you go through this fiery trial? It's not strange. It's important for your faith. It's important. So he showed him the trial of his faith, where he was tried as gold, and he showed him where he was at. And very quickly, can we turn to Hebrews 12, verse 27? And the context of this is the renovation of the heavens and earth, the new heavens and the new earth. But there's a principle in here. Verse 27 says, and this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. Say shaken. The removing of those things that are shaken as things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. One of the purposes of shaking is to remove things. And we don't like that, because we like to hold on to what is comfortable to us. And that word, removing, is the word Strong's G3331, metathesis. And that word, removing, is transposition or transfer of things from one place to another. Transposition or the transfer of things from one place to another. So when God wants to move some things, this is what he does. He shakes. Who's being moved from one place to another? Me. I might be being moved on my own by the looks of things. To change things instituted or established within us so that things that seem immovable, God can shake it free. Don't forget, shaking showed Peter where he was at. There's things about ourselves that we don't like. Somebody smiled there. There's things about us that we don't like. But that has to be moved. It has to go. Simply put, God moves the needless, unnecessary, and unfruitful things from our lives through the shaking process, and he allows the shaking to move you and me forward. He moves us forward. Listen, it moves me from one place in God to another place in God. It moves us forward. Whether you're being sifted or shaken now, I'm telling you, after going home from conference, you'll certainly get sifted and shaken. Because I don't believe that Satan's very happy with what we've been taught this last week. So I know and I am expecting sifting and shaking to take place. But you know what? If we're forearmed, we're prepared. We're prepared. And not only that, we know that during this sifting and shaking, God's desire is to take you from where you are to a further place in him. I've put here, the greatest shaking in your life can get you from one place to another in him. Do you want to go with me? Who wants to be shifted and shaken? Do you want to go with me? Endurance brings victory. And that's where we're going into victory. Amen. Amen. I'll see you at 10 o'clock.